Mr. Fleming's profile. You, Professor?
Well, I'm talking.
Retired professor?
Mm-hmm.
From which school?
University of Maryland.
The University of Maryland? What was your subject?
Well, modern poetry.
Oh, okay.
Good. Very nice.
This is you're a physicist?
That's correct.
And your name is
Carl Wernz.
Carl Wernz, Carl Park. He's from
Cavendish University.
If you are uncomfortable, you can sit on this.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, I'm coming to sit down.
Should
I fill it in? You can sit there.
No, no, no. If you
want
to sit on the couch.
Okay. Yeah. This is the Gene Thoreau problem. He's an attorney in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
He's helped us very much opening up Sam Kadan places. Very good.
And she'll talk about this as well. Professor from Catholic University, a physicist.
Bring some chairs.
Just bring
your chair.
Oh, I can sit here.
You'd
rather have
another chair. No, whatever you want. Whatever's comfortable.
How do you like our moment? What is this moment?
So he said, how do you like our movement?
Well, for myself, I know nothing about this, but I think here.
Well, I like it. I've seen some very good people go into it.
I love it. I've known two people who went into it, and I was at a meeting when you were on Sixth Street, and I've always liked it.
I found it strangely appealing.
Mm.
I met it by accident at an airport, and one of the devotees gave me a flower, and I was struck by it. So I happened to be a lawyer, and I offered my services, and I got a call just a few days after this. And I found it interesting.
Should we turn this on for you?
Los Angeles. Los Angeles, our Mandi, Kalgam. You sometimes go to our temple?
Yes, but there's a Catholic part to it. Mm. There was a part there about 2 weeks ago. I'm in London. A fellow of the Border City Control Center. I was born in Hedgehog.
Hedgehog? Yes, sir. About one that they say, huh?
Yeah. And yet, so
Hari means the Supreme Personality of God. And Dwar means the door, the doorway to the Supreme Personality of God. There is a place in India, Haridwar. People go there, a pilgrimage. Very famous place.
I grew up with yogis and sannyasis in Rishikesh.
Mm.
My father is very close.
Mm.
I'm a scout.
Oh, the father is also
very close. I'm a scout in incident, which, although I was growing up with meditation, I find the bhakti yoga, the chanting, really fulfilling and actually making the difference. Actually making the difference. In one case, it is abstract philosophy, which is the Raj Yoga from other yoga's philosophy, and this actually makes the person transform. Another incident occurred yesterday when I was agitating and I wanted to ask about 5 different shlokas of Gita. One was which were after which surprisingly we discussed 4. What's the sound into them?
Which one?
Kidai Dari Dharma said Lari Bhavati Karapa, give ton of Dharma Sakadatma. Sarvadharma Pratyaya Mami Kamsharam. Life is with its consumer, Kamandavadikara Sena Pleasure Prasha. This is the priest family.
That is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atap Pugmi Dijas Kresha Varnasama Vibhagasa Anushtikasya Dharmasya Samsiddhi Haritodha. Everyone is engaged in occupation and duties. Everyone is engaged. Generally, according to Vedic civilization, the society is divided into 8 divisions. Varnasram dharma is called. 4 varnas and 4 ashram. Materially, 4 varnas. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And spiritually, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. These 8 divisions. So, according to this 8 divisions, everyone has an occupational duty. So, what is the duty and how the duty is perfected? That is, Haritosana, to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God. That people do not know. especially at the present moment, they do not know who is Hari, and they do not know how to preach. That is the defect of the modern civilization, that they do not get to know who is God and how to satisfy. That is the defect. See, life is meant for human life, for satisfying God. That is going on under religious system. And the Vedic civilization is called Varnasram Dharma. Dharma is not a kind of faith. Religion is not a kind of faith, but it is a duty. Varnasram Dharma. So that duty we are forgetting. And therefore we are coming to the level of animals. Because the cats and dogs, they have no duty. Animals. But human beings have an obligation, a duty, to understand God and to satisfy. That is human. Without this knowledge, without this performance of duty, human life is on the level of animal. There are many other verses in this connection. Where are others? They are not present here. That is the defect of modern civilization, that they do not care to know what is God and what is our duty. That is that. So we are trying to enlighten.
So the embassy should have called God. Oh. The ambassador could have gone personally but sent his representative.
Thank you, sir. Wait, this is the Minister of Political Affairs at the embassy. Thank you, sir.
Venkatesa. So by evolutionary process, we come to this human form of life. It is a chance to understand the value of life, to understand God and our relationship with God. And if we are missing this opportunity, that's a great loss. Then he again becomes in another form of life, that is sure, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Tathā Deham Parapta, see, we have to change this body, and if we are not prepared, what kind of body we are going to get next life, then we'll remain like animals. The animal does not know. and human life, we are missing this important point that I am going to change this body. And what kind of body I am going to get, if I do not know, then what is the difference between me and the other?
Perhaps you can comment on the fact that in the movement on the Krishna system, sometimes the sannyasis, but also the common working man, this term is covering a lot of the gospel, they also can.
So this is karma. Karma means according to the division. That Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sutra, and Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Karma means activity. There must be some prescribed activity. You are professor, you are what you are prescribed activity. He is the minister. Some messages, he has not prescribed activity. So everyone has got prescribed activities in whatever position he is. But what is the standard of success that I have done my duties, prescribed duties, properly? What is the standard? The standard is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Samsiddhi Haritosam. Whether you have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead by your deeds, then it is successful.
How do you know
that it's satisfied God? Yeah, that is the intelligence. Because if you do not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how He is satisfied, then you are lacking knowledge. But that is being instructed in the Bhagavad Gita. God Himself is instructing how you can satisfy. Manmana bhavamadbhapta madhyari mahana namaskur. It is not very difficult. Anyone can do it. Just always think of me. God said, Krishna said, always think of me. So just we think of our friend, of our master, of our beloved. Similarly, we can think of God also. That is not difficult. And if you have no knowledge about God, how we can think of? That is it. So, how God is satisfied, that is there. But if you do not do it, that is how I wish. Manmana bhava madhyasta madhyayi bhava namaste. Fourth thing. God says that you always think of me. If you come by devotee, you just offer me obeisances, just worship me, what things, anyone can do it, it's not difficult.
so little time, they've given us the template of these worldviews of Scripture.
Yeah, this is for this purpose. People may come, see God, then he can think of God. There's no difference. If you see something, you think of it. That is manmanabhava. And if you regularly do it, then you become devotee. Manmanabhava madhvaka madhyati. And when you come to the temple, you worship him. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Worshipping means give and take. Take blessings and offer little fruit or little flower. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. And if you cannot do anything, just offer your obeisance. Very simple. If the child can perform, but they will not do it. Ramana is speaking of Mura Prabhupada Narayana. Why does not you do it? That is explained. Because unless one is sinful, duskritim, he has that merit that he is utilizing his merit for sinful action. Kriti. Kriti means meritorious. But duskriti, he has that merit, intelligence. But he is utilizing merit and intelligence for sinfulness. Therefore, duskriti. Ramana duskriti na mura. Mura means laughter. He knows everything except God. Dharadama. The lowest of the man. The human life is meant for this purpose, to understand God, but he does not. Therefore, it's a Narayana, lowest of these. But he is very educated, maya operates of jnana. He is so-called educated. Actually, he is not educated, because he does not know what is God. Maya aparitam jnana. Asuri bhavasita. The basic principle is atheistic attitude. So, this class of man will never offer obeisances or surrender to God. Navāna duṣkṛtina mūlā prabhadvante narāgavā. Maya aparitam jnana. Asuri bhavasita. So, asuric light is very dangerous and it is punishable. This is the position. So you should not become asuric. With all material opulences described in the Ramayana, Ravana was called Vasudeva. He was materially very advanced. He made his capital made of gold, whatsoever advanced material. But he did not care for Ravana. Therefore, he is called Vasudeva, Rakshasa. You are son of a Brahmana, but he did not care for the Supreme Personality of God. He was learned, scholar, materially very intelligent. There was aeroplane, everything, but he did not care for Rama. the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we describe as Asura. Asuras are divided into four classes. Duskitina, Mudha, Narathama, and Maya of Vritam. Godless person means Duskitana Murha Narayana. But it is the duty of the preacher to enlighten them also, to take some risk. But if one is unable to take risk, he may avoid
it. When we go to university, so often we run into very educated people, so-called educated people. Of course, they see us, they think that we're simply sentimentalists. And actually we're not, don't really have knowledge of the universe. How to explain to these people, it's not necessary that they are sinful so much as they just miseducated.
Educated means you have knowledge, but real knowledge is statement. It does not know God. Just like a man is rich, but he has no food. It is like that. Maya apuritam jnana. Therefore his knowledge is misused, duskitim. This knowledge, without any sense of God,
Mr. Davis, Mr. and Mrs. Davis, Prabhupada.
Her daughter is a devotee here. Very good devotee.
There's a chair if you'd like. In this chair, we can bring one more. Bring in the chair.
Perfection of knowledge means to understand God.
That is perfection.
Otherwise, it is imperfect knowledge. Therefore, it is called Vedanta. Veda means knowledge.
This is a Bill Sar. He wrote this book, The Fourth Kingdom.
Fourth Kingdom. What is the idea?
The idea is that the goal of life should be to
put the heart on the mind.
Put people on other planets so that the race can survive.
You mean that all life can survive?
So that all life can survive.
That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Janti deva pratadevan kutrim janti kutrim pratah. Bhuti jajanti jisani, magjajinoti jajanti. If you want to transfer yourself to other planetary system, you can go to the higher planetary system, which is decided by demigods, deva, jajanti deva, Pratana Jiva, and you can go to other planet, Pitri Loka, or you can remain here as you like, and you can go to the planet where God is. But Jajino Vijayantima. So this human life, you can make your selection. After all, you have to change your body. That is compulsory. Nobody can remain here with this body. Janam is to Jalabradi. And we have to change our body. So we can make our selection where we can go next. Either in the higher practice system or the Pitri Loka, or we shall remain here. Or we can go even back to home, back to China. We must prepare ourselves for that purpose. Then, next life we can go wherever we like. But anywhere within this material world, there are four principles. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. There is birth, there is death, there is old age, and disease. But if you go to the spiritual kingdom, there is no more such thing. No birth, no death, no disease, no age. Now we can make our selection. And if we do not make our selection, if we live like cats and dogs without any responsibility, then again we'll be down in the category of cats and dogs. Mura. Janmani, Janmani. Life after life. The remaining life. Anyone love and knowledge.
The old idea is that we should go by spaceship, right?
Well, in the natural world and in the cosmos, nothing is stable. Life only survives all the things that can cause it to perish by mobility, by moving. A coconut tree on one island drops its seed in the ocean to float thousands of miles. Wash up on another shore so that that island is destroyed, it will have life on another island. The seed blossom of a plant is the way the plant survives. It sends its seeds off to other meadows to assure its survival. The premise here is that humanity arrived in nature very recently. We're a part of nature, but we arrived very recently to give life on Earth the same mobility, same chance to survive among the hundreds of other planets in the universe, as a dandelion does in seeding other meadows, as a coconut palm does in surviving on other islands. The coconut palm does not know that there are other islands, but yet it launches its seeds to the unknown currents of the ocean. I believe it is our duty to launch our seeds, our space arts, launch those seeds to the unknown gravitational currents of the stars and find the hundreds of other planets that are out there, so that there cannot be enough cosmic disasters to cause life to perish. And it was meeting two or three of your people at the airport, and I asked them about at the Washington National Airport. I think it was Mina and Mary Davis and Sabra Puma. And I said, what about your philosophy? We talk about living on other planets. Well, right away, I got very interested. And I believe people have had visions on life to other planets because I believe that's our destiny and that is our reason for existence in nature. I've been interested in the Krishna movement to, you know, you say why I'm a materialist. Why am I here? You have an interesting philosophy that, see, not all of us can be building space arcs. Not all of us can leave the Earth. And we should not be using up all our material resources, destroying all other life unnecessarily. And I think we have to adopt a lifestyle that is a little simpler, that we would enjoy life on this Earth where most of us have to stay, with a lesser material requirements. Secondly, I believe we're going to have a different type of society on the space Earth. We're going to have maybe 100 years to 200 years going to another star. Traditional societies that we're familiar with may not be able to survive the social pressures. Maybe this type of environment, communal, what do you say? I think it's going to have to be some type of communal environment to survive this kind of a trip. So this is my interest in the Krishna movement. I think they seem to have the visions of going to other planets, which I think is our only reason for existence.
Yeah. I was discussing. Down to the room about the Mars. And then, do you have friends who suspend when the Devas, demigods, their duration of life is very, very big. Our 6 months is equal to 1 day. Suspend thousands of years, they live. But they die. It is not permanent. But the duration of life is very big. The standard of life is very high. These are the advantages. But there is just old age disease, but still older than me. But if you satisfy yourself with spiritual kingdom, then saptadeham punarjanmanam, then you don't get any more material birth. That is, because we are eternal, we living entities, we do not die. After giving up this body, we do not die. We are separate of it.
I believe the spirit of life lives on totally in this marvelous planet Earth. But I feel the spirit has to be carried and nurtured and improved in the body. So I feel we have to carry the bodies, the material bodies, to the other planets to allow the spiritual living to live there also.
That is in the material one. If you want to stay in the material one, then you change the material body, just suitable for a particular place at birth. But we have got our spiritual body. The spiritual body, without any material covering, you can satisfy to the spiritual world.
You believe you can transmit that to other planets?
Yes. We have to transfer, because we are living in this body. So, we must accept another body. So either in this planet, or another planet, or as human being, or less than you and me, there are 8,400,000 types of bodies. We have to pay, accept one of them according to your karma. Karmana daivana trena jantar deha upapatti. How the next body is developed, that is depending on our work. If we work like demigod, then we go and get the body of demigod. And if we work like dog, then you get the body of a dog. Nekas, karadam gunasangasya sadatak juni janus. According to activity and association of the modes of material nature, we get up and down different varieties of body. Some of them are low grade, some of them are high grade. Whereas that depends on our association with the modes of nature. Nature's work is going on. It's like if we contaminate some particular germs of disease, that disease will develop and we have to suffer. Similarly, by our contamination, our association with the guna qualities of nature, there are three qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So, we have to know how to associate. So if we associate with goodness, then you are elevated, the heart planted system, prema. And if we associate with passion, then in the middle, just like human beings. And if we associate with ignorance, then go down like animals, trees, plants.
How is the spirit held in the system until it finds a new body, yes, sir?
Body, like I was saying, that you are associating with some more some material nature. But according to their association, you get next word. That's right. I've already explained.
Is that immediately after one dies, you transfer to another body, or
yes,
later?
Body is changing every moment.
Every moment.
Every moment. That is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita lesson. Dhinasminjathadehi tummanagurubunamijara tathadehantara prati bhirasattva namayati. Everybody, just like the child is changing his body to boyhood, boy is changing his body to youthhood. Kumaragurubunamijara, the young man is becoming old man. Similarly, when the body is no more, and the other group, then you get another body. Nahannati hannavani sarire. This body being destroyed, we are not destroyed. We, living entity, we are nitya, sasvata. We are eternal. The proof is given that the child is growing within the boy's body. That means the living entity is there, he has changed body. When a child is grown to become a boy, the father and mother do not think that my child is no more existing. He knows my child is existing, but in a different body. This is common sense. So, we shall exist. We existed in the past, we are existing now, and we shall exist in the future, but different body.
Thesis that we, nature tolerates us. We are part of the tree of life. This is the tree of the animal kingdom. And since there's no way that the animal or plant kingdom can escape this planet in this body form, that we are here to support this new tree, the tree of technology, the tree of the fourth kingdom, which started out as the animals did very simply and became more complex until we finally developed the means to launch the seeds of our civilization from this planet to others. We are a special creature who's been given special brain power, special power, which we've abused many times, by the way, but special power in order to create space arcs to take not just humanity, but really an arc, the totality of life to another planet, to hopefully hundreds of planets. Because sooner or later, this planet will be destroyed by the sun. And the sun...
That planet will be destroyed.
Pardon?
Other planets also will be destroyed.
And other planets? There couldn't be enough cosmic disasters to destroy 100 planets at once. Our star may... Our star will eventually turn into a red giant, will incinerate this Earth. Other stars that are the astrologists upon, or astronomers, excuse me.
You find out that, but... First, the smart subhava and bhakta samat.
The many stars out in this galaxy are far less stable than our star. Our star has been stable now for 5 billion years. Many stars are not stable that long. And we're kind of living on borrowed time.
Yes. First, the smart subhava and avyakta samatana. Yes, the starvation kuteshu. Yatsu na vinashati.
Translation. Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
Well, I could interpret that.
not having any background, you'll have to excuse my ignorance, that we are the tool of eternity. We are, through our technical capabilities, the ability to spread life so far among so many billions of stars, that there will be eternal life, there will be eternal spirituality.
Well, there is definitely that.
But when this planet sits for a billion years at 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, what we know of life will be destroyed.
And if England is this material world, we will all destroy.
Yes.
But there is another nature that is being described. Parasat Mahu Bhava Nya Bhakta Bhaktya Sanatana.
But the spirit is manufactured in the body, is it not, sir?
Yes, spirit is but that is a spiritual world also.
Yes.
Where you don't require this material body, you remain in your spiritual world.
But if there's no bodies left, they're all burned up. There's no spiritual development.
Well, no, that is not the fact.
So you need to take the body somewhere.
No, so long you are in the material world, you need take a material body. But if you are in the original spiritual body, then you remain in the spiritual world.
Well, I believe there is a matrix of creation, a spiritual, technical people call it an electromagnetic world, where I'm sure a lot goes on that we are unaware of, but I believe it's like one product of the fourth kingdom of the automobile. And that has its spiritual world. Automobiles, if you destroyed all the automobiles, there's still blueprints around, there's still ways, there are still things that can manufacture the automobiles. But the trial, the improvement, the development of the automobile has to take place as an automobile. Likewise, I think the spiritual improvement, the improvement of life...
Automatically, automobile does not develop. When a man, a person, develops the design, that is a question of development. But the automobile as it is, it does not develop. It is matter. When matter is handled by spirit soul, then there is change. Otherwise, there is no change.
Perhaps I can give you a sign for this, according to science, every cell is changed within 12 years. Every single body cell is changed.
It's continual, yes.
It's a continual process, very
right.
Molecular process,
right.
Very genetic process.
I agree.
All right? And you guys said, what about the you now in the tally heart? And I know it cannot be broken on. This is like, you change the old clothes to new clothes. It's a vent. What is the word translation?
We're in. We're continually changing image, right?
Body changes. Now, the concept of God, according to the script, is infinite. With our finite mind, we cannot comprehend
that's
infinite.
Right.
Because the finite can only comprehend finite portion.
That's
why. When I was a child, my concept of God, the infinity, was a certain portion of the infinity.
Right.
And it changes. So long we are comprehending the material part, often infinite,
that's right.
But only comprehending the finite
small
part.
That's right.
And consequently, when the body changes, all this ocean, you will never be able to compute the material and the transcription of the material to another planet, because there is no way you can comprehend the totality of the God's manifestation in the 18th chapter when the last group is here. We cannot comprehend it our mind. And the idea of transporting body or material is still a very small, finite portion of the total infinity, which no way you can comprehend.
Well,
this is what provides.
I agree. What we are the resulting images of the power of creation. We are the evidence that there is a creative power.
And consequently, since we are only a manifestation of the total
that's
power.
That's what we are, a manifestation, an image of it.
That's why we cannot. And electric bulbs, when they are turned on and off, the light's there. It is very hard to say where the electrons are flowing, into which electrons.
Well, in our case, our electrons are flowing from one place to some. And the imagery in your magazine is just beautiful. It shows the imagery of the man and the sun, and what we are scientifically, as you know. We're images of sun energy. And this is where our electrons come from. And when the sun goes out, we go out. Unless we're to another star where there's another sun.
Bill, could you explain to Srila Prabhupada why you think life is created?
How it is created?
Yes.
Well, there is a creative force. The power of life is light. And you say, God had his light. He decided to start. That's true. That's very true. In my understanding.
You think everything comes from light, sure.
All the religions refer to God as light. Most of the religions, and science agrees. Light is that very fugitive bit of energy that allows life to be possible.
That is fire. Well, from the light comes.
From the fire and the sun.
Yes, that's what the fire is, the source of light.
That's the source of light, yes.
As soon as you say light, you must find out the source of light.
That's correct. You must destroy matter in order to create light.
Well, how about water?
You don't destroy any matter, it's transmutation.
I don't mean destroy. Yes, it's transmuted from matter to energy.
That's the Einstein's equation. Energy equals the mass. The speed of light. To the square of that.
That's right.
And you can transmit in your way. There's no matter the square that you
have. That's correct. It's as matter and energy are really the same thing. It's another form.
Yes.
That's correct.
That's the whole principle of it.
So, once you have light, you have the source of life, and then you have to have an enormously creative power to take the light, move it into a form which can become life. Started out as single cells in the ocean, or simple chemicals in the ocean, then single cells, then more complex cells, all with an extraordinarily complicated creative power causing the light to flow through to create a new image, which is life. And it's very similar, as you understand, the television picture is the same electromagnetic energy that we are. We, with our simple brains, can take electromagnetic energy, tune it, transmit it, retune it as a two-dimensional picture. The creative power in life has taken the same electromagnetic energy that's coming from the sun and has tuned it in the form of living images, three-dimensional images, far, far more complicated than our simple television.
I'll read your book page by page and you do the same number of chanting.
All right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be surprised what happens. I'm a hardcore scientist, and to me, it's a transformation. Absolutely.
Well, I was a hardcore.
I'll read your book, and you read the transformation. I'm sure you will get ahead much quicker than me.
I talk to your people, and I think there's pretty much agreement on the fundamental philosophical concept.
There's something magnetic about it. There's something creative which comes inside. You can't explain.
Yeah.
You can't explain.
Could you hear
me? I already sent someone from Philip Prabhupada. I don't think he's seen
nothing.
Oh, they went to the Library of Congress today, Prabhupada. Oh. There, here
I am. No, I think you put it better than I did. We do not destroy matter, we transmute it from the energy. That's exactly correct.
And that's actually equal to Planck's constant at you. How is it going to
achieve? Correct.
And Planck's constant multiplied by the frequency of
life. And it is the... And in fire, you are again transmuting material, chemical energy into life. And when our light source goes out,
and it just occurred to me, I'm a scientist, I publish papers, now it's all coming together, it's after a long search, which we are doing in, the body systems are to be coordinated. Endocrine systems and the nervous system are the two. Now the endocrine systems are coming to the nervous system, and that is coordinated through pranayama and the yoga, and the chant, basically, indirectly, the straightforward.
Well, there's fundamentally should be no difference between science and religion. Really should not be. And,
all good scientists are the greatest religious people. I'm at Berkeley. They're all Nobel Prize winners. They always say that all of us cannot create a single leaf or a single flower if you so have. Sure.
You know Calvin?
Sure.
Very good.
I was a professor at UCLA. And
very, UCLA. Yeah, very good. Well, he got his Nobel laureate in explaining how the chemistry of light turns into life. And so I passed the manuscript by him to make sure that he didn't run me out of town. So he agreed. He said it was rather novel, but I believe there's a fundamental truth that runs through the whole system. And I'm sure I've read some of your comments in the magazines, and I think you are fundamentally in agreement with what you said.
Perhaps you can make commentary on this. So, Yamisha Sarva Bhutanam, Asyam Jagrati Sanyami, Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani, Anisha Pashyatamani.
The material civilization is the Jagriti of the materialistic person. But those who are spiritually alert, they think that this person has created, they got the opportunity of understanding God. But without understanding God, they're simply busy with the material body and its comfort and working hard day and night and missing the point. And whereas the materialistic person, they see these Krishna conscious people, Hare Krishna people, they're wasting their time by chanting Hare Krishna, they're doing nothing. That's the opposite people. These people are seeing the materialistic person, they're sleeping, not enlightened to the spiritual life. And this materialistic person, they're seeing that these people, under some fictitious idea, they are spoiling their life without enjoying the material facility. That's the opposite.
Well, I try to resolve those two views. I believe that materialism has a divine purpose.
Everything has a divine purpose.
Yes.
But if you do not understand the divine purpose, then you remain animal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has a divine purpose.
Yes.
Yes. This human form of life is given to us by laws of nature to understand what is God, what we are, what is our relationship with God, what is this material world, why you have come here, these things we are to know in this human form of life, and if we like, we can know also. But instead of knowing this different phases of life, if we simply take care of this body, like the animals, then we need trouble. The animal is concerned, take the care of the body. If you simply taking care of this body, then we are animals. Saiva Bhokha. The Shas would be Kunapiti Bhakti. Salit Kalatrad Subhavamaj Jaji. That Dilka would be Salile Nagarishu. Jane Slavikin. Saiva Bhokha.
Sir, may I read you back to my version of materialism without purpose? May I read you materialism without purpose?
Without purpose.
Mankind's insatiable appetite for material things stems from an instinctive desire to pursue technology, which in turn drives civilization to a frenzy of activity. However, without a cause or a purpose, no spirituality, as you see, the rush and hurry in uncertain directions to uncertain places creates an excess of technological gimmickry. Perhaps this continuing quest for more material goods would be less anxious if the cause of this obsession in mankind were universally recognized. If we saw the ultimate use of technology as an extension of nature, or the purpose for the whole life system, perhaps a new lifestyle would evolve. We would see a creative, natural, instinctive, satisfying outlet for energies, and we might all collectively attain more peace of mind. The waste of technological gimmickry would then disappear. hard reality, however, will extinguish our relentless desire for material things if we do not correct the situation ourselves. We will simply run out of resources and power if our technological explosion continues as blind as a raging torrent of water flowing in any direction gravity takes it.
Yes.
And I believe
yes, that is arranged by the laws of nature. However, you may improve your technological science. You are under the laws of materialism that you cannot change. But if you revive your spiritual life, then you can change. Otherwise, it is not possible. If you keep yourself under the laws of material nature, then you have to be carried away by the laws of material nature, however expert you may be in technological understanding. Because, after all, you are an instrument in the hands of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gurai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimurātmā kattāham siti manlati. You are falsely thinking that I am everything I can. And my technological understanding can improve the condition. But the real problem is, as it is put forward by Bhagavad Gita, janmam mrityu jarabhyasi dukkha dosanugasa. We are eternal, nahannate hannamane sarire. We are put under the laws of material nature by which we have to accept birth, death, old age and old age. This is our real problem. So unless you make a solution of this problem, there is actually no advancement of education.
I was...
Because the problem remains the same.
Saying that we're governed by the laws of nature, says that a biological creature, like the rest of us.
You should not remain under the laws of material nature. Baby Jika Gunamai Mama Maya Gurupaya. It is very difficult.
In one of our cover letters we went out to some of the people in the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, I referred to mankind as a biological phenomenon to solve one of nature's big problems. And then wrote back, says, anybody who calls man a biological phenomenon shouldn't try and talk to me. I don't know what you think we are.
Biological phenomenon is
It is nature. It's governed by the laws of nature, exactly.
So you can get out of the, as it is, advice. David J. Sagunamui, Mama Maya Durutvaya. It is very difficult. But Mami was a purpose that says, Maya Vaitan Savas. If you surrender to God, then you can get out of this biological process. Otherwise, it's not possible.
May I just add one little note to my friend, I'm sure my son's friend will back me up, that the radiation from the sun includes far more than just light, which is after all just a narrow part of the electromagnetic radiation.
Physical light is, you're talking about?
Yes.
I'm talking about the whole electromagnetic spectrum.
That's what you said, light.
I've said it in the book that it's far more complex than we can even imagine. It's far more complex than
Yeah, that's correct. If I brought the Hutana, Jainam Sarvidam Tatma, Sarvakarma Tam Ayatshya Siddhidam Vindati Manu.
Excuse me, Jim and Bill?
Right.
Jim inquired through that, what is the source of the light? You know, like if you look at a light bulb, you'll examine that it has a source of actually.
Right.
You can trace it back to the electric company.
Right.
And the people who are running electric company are personalities, right?
Right.
So in the same way, the light of the sun, the light of the moon is coming from a person, a personality, right? And we say that person is the source of all truth,
I said radiant energy from the sun was to be the most important ingredient for our living earth. We know the content of the sun's rays is light and heat. This is what our senses tell us. We measure wavelengths and we see colors in sunlight. However, the sun rays are a blend of radiant energy so complex that we may never understand their significance. And I believe, at least in our generation, I don't think we'll quite understand how complex it is. I thought I agree totally with it.
It's not only that, but it's really a relativity. The observer is also part of the observed phenomenon.
We will never
For that reason, it's difficult to comprehend infinity by a finite mind. And chanting gives you something, gives me something.
That's right. When you find intuitive understanding,
I can't explain.
It brings you to the uncertainty.
Well, I'm glad you said that. Then that holds true that we may never understand the signals. And being observers on the scene, we probably never will. Einstein used to say, used to wonder how it might be to ride a wave of light so we could see how it really works. But since we're sitting here,
somewhere we have to have the faith in.
Yes, that's correct.
As Wickenlock said, that there's a bottle of honey inside, and being outside, you can see, but unless you taste it, you can't really feel it.
Well, they're probably the most important. I quoted some people. This is T.R.D. Jordan, who was a very religious man and a scientist, was caught right in the tube. And I consider this probably the most important quote in the book. Desjardins said, in the mutual reinforcement of these two still opposed powers, namely religion and science, in his day.
No, I mean, never agree to
what? In the Western civilization, it's opposed. He's saying philosophically, he said, in the mutual reinforcement of these two still opposed powers, in the conjunction of reason and mysticism, the human spirit is destined by the very nature of its development to find the uttermost degree of its penetration and the maximum of its vital force. In other words, if you don't have spirituality and science, you only have just society. He's simply saying what you did.
Excuse me. One thing is, you should address your questions to the authority. This discussion that you're having will get you nowhere. Unless you apply your questions to the authority, then you will never understand anything. So the authority is Srimad Bhagavatam, and His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, is teaching from that authority. So if you come here, then you should try to address your questions to His Divine Grace, rather than arguing among yourselves, because you will not find any satisfaction in your argument. If you want information, then you must go to the authority.
Still, the argument was an aspect of the case.
The side issue that he came up with.
The wisdom that is here.
Kutin da kaluje bhava, rata stakreda dule. Things which are inconceivable do not try to understand by arguments. Kutin da kaluje bhava. So, our process, this Krishna consciousness movement, is to take knowledge from the authority. Unless we take knowledge from the authority, however we may go on arguing, we cannot come to the conclusion. The modern scientists, philosophers, they are arguing, but they do not come to the conclusion. If you want to take conclusion, just like two lawyers are arguing in the court, but the conclusion is given by the authority, the judge. That one has to accept. So we take authority, Bhagavad Gita, or Krishna, he accepted authority by all the acharyas, Ramanuja acharya, Madhya acharya, Vishwasyami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the Shastra also, Vyasadeva, Narada, Viva la Rosita. So, what authority is Kanta? So if he takes confusion from the authority, then he benefits. Otherwise, with our limited knowledge, if we go on arguing, then we cannot understand the confusion. That is not possible. Tarko apratishtasutayu bivinna. By argument, we cannot come to the conclusion. I can argue, and you can argue, but you may argue more than me. Another person can argue more than you. In this way, do not come to the conclusion. And sutayu bivinna. So my pictures are concerned, they are also defined pictures. Nāso mani jasya matam na bhinda. And a philosopher is not a philosopher if he does not agree with others. If he does not agree, other philosophers. In this way you are perplexed. Therefore, it is advised, Mahajana Jena Vagasya Pantha, we should accept the authority. And then, we shall benefit us. So the authorities are mentioned in the chapter, who are authorities. So if we follow the authorities, then we get the conclusion. So Krishna is the authority accepted, at least in India, all the Vedic authorities, Vedanti, are accepted. Krishna is the authority. So we simply follow what Krishna says, and we get benefit out of it. And then, it is all right. And without following authority, if you go on arguing, there is no end. The same example, that two lawyers, both of them are learned scholars, they are going on arguing at some point. They do not come to conclusion. But when the judge gives conclusion, that has to be accepted. Very famous. So we have to find out the judge. And that is Krishna. So we have got many points to understand by argument. But if we tell the judgment of Krishna, then the conclusion. And he has his direction in every field of life. Even our political leaders, they also accept Bhagavad-gītā. Guidance. So if we take guidance from Bhagavad-gītā without mad interpretation, then we are going to. Unfortunately, we interpret our own way, which is favorable to us. And that is not required. When the authority of the Bhagavad Gita is gone, we make our own conclusion, supposing on the authority of God. That is not helpful. By man interpretation. To take the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita as it is, then it will end.
May I ask a question? Is it possible to aim at any form of personal existence after death?
Yes.
Amen.
Your personal existence, you are old man.
So
you are, when you are a child, you are a person. When you are a young man, you are a person. Now you are old man, you are a person. Your personality is continuing, although the body is changing. You are not missing your personality. Therefore, personality continues, even if I didn't change this body. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. It's not said, I love this one.
Sihinosmin yatadehe mumaram govaram.
Huh? No. But Krishna says, my Lord Arjuna, you and me and all these persons were assembled here.
That's the way of them.
Matrevaham gatunasam nasam neme janadika svachayva na padishyam sarvevaya saptaram. Translation. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be.
Yeah. That means in the past we existed. At present we are existing. And in future we shall continue to exist. Individually. And that is our experience. I existed in the past as a child. So I existed as a person. I existed as a young man. I existed as a person. I am an old man now. I am existing as a person. But the conclusion is, when I shall change this body, I shall remain as a person. How can change this conclusion? I am continuing to exist as a person. I am still existing as a person. And here is the authority. He said, in the future also, we were to the person. So there is time factor, past, present and future. And in all these time factors, I live as a person. Not only me, I, but also. Krishna, he says, I also live as a person. You, Arjuna, you also a person, I am also a person. And all these soldiers and kings who are assembled, they are also a person. Yes. So our personality continues. Past, present and future.
So then, when you die, they bury your body.
My body, really.
They bury my body. They bury your name. They write it on a stone, maybe. But they bury your name. They bury your memory. And what survives, I'm going to ask, what survives? No memory, no body, no name.
That is called?
It's a spirit.
Spirit soul.
And the spirit would not necessarily have the ability to point and say, I used to be in that body, or that body, or that body.
But that he forgets. Death means forgetfulness. Just like accepting that I was existing in previous life. But now I do not remember. This is death. But I am existing, that's a fact. The same example, everyone knows. But you are existing as a child. You are existing as a young. So, because it is short period, I remember. But when the body is completely changed, the atmosphere is completely changed because of it. But actually, I exist.
continually. Na annate hannavani sarire. Release the authority to step my death. I am not any hero on account of my body. So, the burying the body or giving some name, some tomb, that is the business of my relatives, my friends, my family. But as I am alone. I have accepted another body. And then begin my life in the deep end. The people do not try to understand this science, how it is happening. That is all described in the Bhagavad Gita. If you study Bhagavad Gita very carefully, you can understand the philosophy of life correctly.
You mentioned understanding. You mentioned lawyers arguing, and the judge makes the decision, and their higher authority resolves the question. Can you suggest how people can go beyond that to spiritual understanding, not just appealing for judgment over a controversy about facts? What suggestions or comments do you have about achieving spiritual understanding?
That is very simple. Spiritual understanding, that is, I was speaking. I said, this is beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Spiritual understanding is that I am not this body. This is spiritual understanding. So long I am under this bodily concept of life, that I am this body, I am America, I am India, I am Hindu, I am Christian, I am white, I am black, and so on and so on. These are all bodily concepts of life. So long we keep ourselves on this platform, then we are on the material plane. When you understand that I am not this body, that is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Dehi nasin dathat dehi. Deha means this body. And dehi means the owner of the body. So unless we distinguish the owner of the body and the body, there is no spiritual body. So long we identify with this body, that is material. And when we understand that I am not this body, I am a spirit soul, I have been entrapped by this body, that is spiritual.
Well, is it not also true that the more you can realize, I am not this body, but there is that about within my body which is spiritual, and that is that in an African's body which is spiritual, or a child.
Everyone's
body. Therefore, the thing we have in common is we are all a part of the spirit.
Yes. That is right. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit, God. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. All these living entities, they are mind, part and person. And qualitatively, we are one. Just like a small particle of gold is also gold. It is nothing else. Similarly, we being part and parcel of God, we have got that bodily
qualification. God can create. We can also create. That example I have given in this last parasha. That we have created this big 747 airplane. But we cannot create a mosquito. That is also a plane. We pile up. That is God's creation. So the creative power, both of us, we have God. But we are limited and He is unlimited. That is the difference. A drop of seawater that contains the same chemical. But the quantity of Atlantic Ocean and drop of Atlantic Ocean is not the same. So we are just like drop of the Atlantic Ocean, and God is Atlantic. That is the difference. But chemically there, the whole Atlantic Ocean is salty, we are also salty. Whatever chemical composition is Atlantic Ocean, we are also of the same chemical. And because we are part and parcel of God, therefore we show sometimes activities very wonderful. But still God's activities are still more wonderful. That we cannot compare. That is not possible. So, we should understand what is the duty of the part and parcel. Now, just like this finger is the part and parcel of my body. So, what is the duty of the finger? To serve the whole body. I order the finger, please come here immediately. It does like this. So the finger is being part and parcel of the body. It is the duty of the finger to serve the whole body. When the finger is unable to give any service, then it is diseased. If there is some pain in the finger, I want to use the finger for some purpose, to pick up this stuff. I cannot do it. That means it is diseased. Similarly, we living entities, part and parcel of God, when we are unable to give service to the Supreme, and that is our disease condition. That is not normal condition. And when we actually able to give service to God, and that is our healing. So in the materialistic way of life, we are diseased. Because we are diseased, therefore we have to accept birth and death. Suppose it one putra kati in a sudhita sattva. So we have to get free from this disease condition. Suddheta sattva. Krishna bhagavato kam alantam